atine ndembo yafe muti wafyachi atine ndembo yafe muti wafyachi inganga yatine ati ukembe tansa nomuwanga itishimba dino lya msungu inganga yatine ati ukembe tansa nomuwanga itishimba dino lya msungu Mukati wako mawine aida kumikonfwa Mukati wako mawine aida kumikonfwa Ati yakona umfile nganga yatine Ati yakona umfile nganga yatine Bantu inende fwaya fe muti wafyashi Bantu inende fwaya fe muti wafyashi Inganga yatile Imishila ya mukole na mupapi Itishima umutima wakanyerere Inganga yatile Imishila ya mukole na mupapi Itishima umutima wakanyerere No mwaka waipwa kwa ulo mwana Noma kawaipo kwa ulo mwana Umulume atire kanji chukotara kwa Umulume atire kanji chukotara kwa Umukashi atire kanji tuye kuchipatara Umukashi atire kanji tuye kuchipatara Narima kutiwa mpera ko umuti wafyashi Narima kutiwa mpera ko umuti wafyashi Choko taakumine Atima yori
Hello, Zambia Blog Talk Radio family around the world. Good morning from Dallas, Texas. Good afternoon, Europe. Hello, Zambia. Hey, the Western Pacific. It's good to have everybody on the show today. It's June the 22nd, the 22nd of June. Good morning from and welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. Matilda, what did we learn in geography about June the 21st or 20 whatever in, about what you call it? Is it equinox or what? Can you remember? Good morning.
Good day. Good morning. Good morning. And you know, our geography lesson gave us 2 days, 21 and 22nd. That
okay.
Today is the first day of summer, and this time is. Equinox is in March. This time the sun is time the sun is up at the Tropic of Cancer. Cancer, ni Capricorn. Yeah, that's my fifth guy.
Ni Cancer. Just remember that the shorter word is on top of the longer word Capricorn at the bottom. Yo, like a trip shake of a chim, but don't find a tie with a geography. Kelvin, a chani, what did we learn in geography?
Good morning. Good morning, Nathan. How are you, Matilda? Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. Okay, what's the geography lesson about this time of the year? Can you remember?
Actually, what I remember is June 21st, I believe is the longest day of the year, and it's called the summer solstice because it officially ushers in summer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, summer solstice.
I believe it's Western Zodiac to do with Cancer, I think. That's why they call it the Cancer
month. My goodness, we didn't.
You have to go beyond. You have to go beyond notes on the blackboard.
On the blackboard, Kabiri. Remember, Remember the teacher would say, read chapter 9 in the textbook, Chirecha Geography. Yeah?
But you know something else, though. You know something else. I don't know who went beyond this. You remember the world is divided into hemispheres, right? Northern and southern.
Southern,
so it's only summer solstice in the northern hemisphere,
yes,
and it's winter in the southern hemisphere.
And I was getting ready to say that until you threw in the zodiac.
Okay.
I was about to say winter solstice. Then you said, oh, the cancer is not yet. These people went deep. But yes, the beginning of summer for the northern hemisphere and the beginning of winter in the southern
southern hemisphere.
June starts in May.
Yeah, I know. I understand the winter in the southern hemisphere is gotten a little bit more severe than it used to be when we were growing up. That's what I'm taught, that it's really getting cold in Zambia. So anyway, the other guys will argue and say, what do you call it, global warming? We do not want to go into that. And the weather has just changed in a drastic way, whichever way you are, whether you believe in global warming or not. The bottom line is the weather has changed so much. Anyway,
weather patterns are now unpredictable. There used to be a time when we would know that around this time of the year, this is what to expect. But like you said, in Zambia, it's colder and here it's hotter. And while it's hotter here, it's also winter in some parts of the northern countries. You know, that's a very good combination.
Yeah, I know. Okay, everybody, welcome. Like we already said, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on which part of the world you're listening to. It's interesting that, you know, doing this, and also we're talking about geography and also realizing the different time zones that are represented in each part of the world. It's an amazing experience. Like, you know, some places like our friend Mr. Sakala in Japan, it's bedtime now. I think it's about, is it 10 p.m. or something like that? And in Zambia, they are saying Kachirika Suva, it's the day is just beginning, and they are getting ready for a weekend bash, or some already started yesterday. Europe is the same, and here, this part of the world, we are saying good morning. Okay, so everybody, remember, we're getting ready to go to Dallas. You are all getting ready to come to me to Dallas in September 13th and 14th. Okay, San Sanga. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody here. Everybody here.
I have it
coming. Pardon?
When I come to the airport, I want to find some dancers and drummers. I want to see the flag.
One for Kelvin.
I don't care if the Angoni dancers, Bemba dancers, Tonga, the Mukishi dancers.
I shall definitely get Tonga dancers. I know my sister, my association president, she'll help me get that together around here. I don't know who's going to play the drums though, but we shall get it organized. Okay. So Matilda wants dancers. We shall work on that. Kelvin, what do you want to find when you come to the airport?
I just want to find happy people, smiling, good interactions. Yeah.
That's an easy request.
I'm very simple.
Because, anybody at the airport will be smiling, whether they are smiling because they are leaving or they are arriving or their loved ones are here, whatever. That's an easy request.
Did you hear this man say he's simple and he came up with a very, some very a technical name for his company, how do you say it?
Think of kinetic energy. That's how it came about. kinetic energy. We are depicting strength, energy, motion, movement. So the company is going to be moving. Yes. So it's kinetical.
Kinetical. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. remember?
Okay.
I said. It's very interesting. I like it, and I was looking at it, and it's we good to go. We shall hear more details about this as we go along, and even in Dallas when everybody shows up and all. Okay, so Kelvin just wants to find happy people. Matilda wants traditional dancers. I shall throw that to my sister, my association president, to work on that. That is what we're gonna do. I mean, she's a great lady. I know she can pull it off. I just want to know where she's gonna get the drums from. But that's
right.
my yeah.
Yeah, lots
okay.
of chickens and find drums.
There are a lot of them. I know some people have hidden some drums in their homes. So that day when Matilda arrives, they will come out. I think we can also work out a situation where we have a traditional dance at the event. Wouldn't that be nice as a
that
tourist?
That would be
fantastic. Yeah, we need to work on something. Okay, today our ZBT roundtable is around the nation, things that are making news. Before I get to my point of what is making news in what I was looking at, what do you have, Matilda? Give me one point and let's see what we can do with it.
Well, mine is not so much making the news per se, but it's making thoughts.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those things that for those of us who are privileged to have two countries, one we lived in and one we came from, when you listen to the news, whether we turn it on the radio, on the internet, TV, or read it, and you start scratching your head and say, where are we going with this? You know, when you think about current events or just economic situations or just what the leaders are, country leaders are saying, you try to think, am I safe here? Am I good here? Or is it better if I go home? Or if I go home, can I make it? Can I not? You know, so that's the what I'm thinking, you know, and a lot of other people are thinking, like, okay, is it better where I am or is it better to go back, you know, kind of a thought.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. Okay. I like that provocative mindset and the thought pattern of looking at things and weighing the chance. How would you respond to that, Kelvin? What should one really be looking at, Kelvin, on the issue that Matilda is raising?
Sorry, I was a little distracted. Like briefly, Matilda, what did you say? Sorry.
Well, I kept it general, but let me be more specific. You know, I kept it general in the sense that, okay, we are here and we are also from there, two different countries. And we look at, okay, the current situation, whether it's in-house, in your state, city, or it's the whole country at large. And you think of like, okay, is it time to pack up, to go? Or when you say, okay, let me go back home. And then you read what's going on and whatever we are hearing or reading, whether it's social or economic events, and you're like, well, is the country back home moving forward or backwards? What's going on with this turmoil? So it's like you're in a caught up in a thought, like, am I better off here or there?
Right. It's a thorny issue, but the way I operate, like at a personal level, the way I operate is, if I'm making plans maybe to go back, right, I would go for maybe a month and assess the situation, right? Because you have to know that people have expectations in life, right? And there are those who have expectations but do not want to work to realize, their goals. There are those with expectations and they are ready to work. They are ready to put in their energies and make sure they set their base. I would not... I, for one, would not be detracted from going back based on news reports or based on, you know, some verbal communication with someone back home. Because somebody's challenges are not my challenges. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody's life expectations, the only way I will survive in this world is if I have $10 million, for instance. Well, guess what? Maybe $20,000 is enough for me, and I know how
mm-hmm.
to, you know, develop that, you see? But in terms of assessment of whether, you know, I should go back or stay, you look at both environments. Like, okay, I've been in the U.S., like myself, for what, 17 years now. What is it that I have done? What is it, I can do, you know, more or better to get to where I want to be? You have to realize that in life, you can never get to point C and be satisfied. When you get to point C,
mm-hmm.
you want to get to point F. I remember when I just came, my first job was in Subway. And I was asking myself, are you really serious? Like, you have this education and you're comfortable working in Subway. But guess what? I was not comfortable. I always looked forward to giving this country an opportunity. I always looked forward to getting their education and assimilating into the system. And I did those things. And I remember back then when I'm going to bed, I would ask myself, like, oh, my God. So what are you going to do if you get to that level? I was like, you know what? I'll be satisfied. I'm at that level, but I'm not satisfied because there's something more that I can do. You see
yeah.
that?
So, but Kelvin, and I understand, you know, one verbal report does not reflect the whole nation. But when you look at complaints of ZESCO, electricity, we don't have until today. This, I was sharing this thought with someone. I remember back in the 80s, in the early, mid and early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Mid 80s towards the late 80s. That is when we started experiencing some power outages. Those were not things that were frequent prior to. You know, but you'd have like, okay, you have no power in the rain season. That was expected. But for the rest of the year, you had power. Unless something just happened, maybe a transformer blew, you know, those would be the rare incidents. But we knew in December or during rain season, the rain would do something and it would cause the power outage. But now there's power outage every day. There's power outage to the point that even the power company does not have electricity. Those are the kind of things I'm talking about, you know. Economic sustenance, it differs. A person in the village, two people in the same village, one can complain of hunger. The other one can say that, we are fine. We're eating well, you know. So
you
that
know,
is not the point. It's
things
know, that affect people lately.
Have you asked yourself how some people are successful? Some people are successful because they thrive in scarcity. They thrive in confusion. So if there's no power, if there's load shedding, guess what? What's the next best alternative? You know what? Before I go, I have that house I've built. I'm going to put a generator. I don't want to be inconvenienced. Oh, you know what? Maybe the generator won't be enough. I'll put, one or two big solar panels. There's your problem solved. You don't have to wait on ZESCO power, right? So that's why I said, that's why I talked about expectations. You know what I'm saying? The general expectation in the country is that we'll have electricity through ZESCO. ZESCO is a failing company, for instance, right? Maybe not by want, not by choice, but because we failed to plan or comprehend the changing weather patterns. There's no rain to generate power and this and that, right? But this is a world which has alternative sources of energy. So that right there gives you a solution to say, guess what? I'm not going to be part of this ZESCO nonsense. I'm having my own powerful generator. To back that up, I'm going to have my own solar panels. You're good to go, right?
Interesting.
There, Matilda?
Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, before we go any further, let's welcome Dr. Pat. Dr. Pat, Marshibuken.
Okay.
I'm waiting.
Marcolini. Marcolini.
Why can't I am quiet? Hey, it's good to hear your voice.
My brother.
We know. Murishani, na imwe.
Yes.
Pastor Alan, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, family.
How are you doing today?
I am fine, thank you. How's everybody?
Sunshine State. How's the Sunshine State?
It's hot. It's extremely hot.
Never.
It rains for 15 minutes and you are back to the heat.
Yes, Kelvin.
please make sure Alan doesn't talk about playing golf today. I'll be mad because ours is cold, it's gloomy, it's going to rain. Please, I don't want to hear that, Alan.
No, just the beach. The beach is so hot to be out on the coast.
Ah,
now
you're piercing my heart. Come on. I can take the golfing part.
Yes.
I can take the golfing part, but not the beach.
Yes.
Just think of like Bangwehulu, but I don't know to which.
There's nothing wrong with him playing golf. Let him relax, and you know we are having a little what. Okay. I know. Matilda raised a point here, Dr. Patrick and Alan, and she basically was trying to say weighing the option or possibility of. She used the phrase, those of us who belong to two worlds or two countries, if you may want to put it that way. The option of staying here or the option of going there and flying across the Atlantic back home. And that's what you found the discussion Kelvin has ably articulated here and explained. I like the argument of saying some people thrive on scarcity and difficult situations and stuff like that. I don't know what how you would respond to that, Alan, based on your recent travel and what you assessed there. Would you stay here or you'd rather go there? What would make you make that move of deciding to stay or to go? We are not.
You know, I'm practically in the process of wrestling with that question. I'm like seriously wrestling with it right now because there's one advantage of being in the U.S. for me is the economic factor and education and then being exposed to another world. But quite all right, you've been exposed to another world. You've got your education, and then but the opportunity to make to earn a living where I can sleep at night without. Having to worry about the person I said, I'll bring your money on Tuesday, and I know I'm not going to give it to him. The other person who I told this thing is only $10 when it only costs $2 to make a living like businesses in Zambia. So you're constantly looking over your shoulder. You can't really sleep in perfect. When I go to sleep here, I sleep like a baby because I know I have not swindled anyone. I have not over. Even when I undercharge somebody for my service, I still am going to make enough money. I've been able to send my daughter to private school for the last 14 years. That's what I'm saying. And I don't owe them anything. I've been able to pay. Those things which, if I was in Zambia, I'll go back and ask myself, okay, at my level of education, or if I had stayed and not come here, what quality of life would I have been able to provide for my children and my wife and all these other things? Because even if the suffering in the USA sometimes is a little bit better. When you're talking about economy, it's better than poverty in being poor in Zambia, economically. Because I can make $20,000 a year and live. If it's in a one-bedroom apartment, live without having to borrow from anyone, without having to talk to anyone, to go and ask for money and things like that. But on the other hand, the relationships that we form back home, just watching my brothers, watching my cousins, watching the people there, I began to seriously ask, is it worth giving this up for the quality of life that I'm living out there? You know, and right now, the distinguishing factor for me has been, okay, my children. If it was just me, and I'm able to go back and make $6,000 a month, I would rather be in Zambia. Just at $6,000 a month, I would rather be in Zambia. So now the question becomes, okay, let's say I can make $20,000 a month. Am I then saying it is I can take my children home and I'll give them the quality of life that I would like them to have and the exposure that I would like them to have? That's a different question. But we find ourselves in a situation where I've given up on, because in Zambia, I don't have to be a billionaire to be considered and treated like a human being that's worth something. You know what I'm saying? The value that people put, not just on me, because I'm from America, it might be different, but I watched how people spoke about my brothers, spoke to them, how they treated them. All those other things that we miss out on, the relationships. Here, we are practically familyless. You know, how my 10 cousins down the line, they recognize each other. For me, my kids don't even know who my own brother's children are. You see what I'm saying? So there's a lot that we give up. So there's a tug of war in my heart, really. And then when it comes to governance and things like that, people are doing things, but the question becomes, okay, so what's your contribution to making things correct, to correcting the situation? You know, all these questions are currently I'm wrestling, really, so I can't give a definitive answer.
Interesting. Dr. Pat, what will be your input on this?
I think whenever you ask this question to anyone, whether it be domestic or global or the diaspora, you should preface it with all things being equal.
Yes.
If all things were being equal, we would prefer to live in Zambia as opposed to the United States. We would prefer to live in Ghana or Angola or any of our beautiful countries in Africa if all things were equal. But being that they're not, and this also holds true for the Latin Americans that are moving from Guatemala, El Salvador, moving up into Mexico and into the United States. If all things were equal, they would not be migrating towards the United States. And that's why many of the global citizens and the diaspora seek dual citizenship. They want to have the benefit of the beauty and the wealth of one country, whereas you don't have that much or equal status in another country. So you initially get the beauty of taking Zambia, for example. You take the beauty of Zambia, but you take the wealth of the United States when it comes to dual citizenship. And that's
there you go.
For many of those who seek dual citizenship. Another thing, my brother on the previous caller mentioned that has a profound impact on whether or not you go to live permanently or you stay in the United States are the children. The children being born and raised in the Americas or in the United States or Canada, they've grown accustomed to this type of milieu. And if you were to move them to, say, Zambia, it's a culture shock.
Absolutely.
So you have to consider those differences. But again, going back to my initial point, all things being equal, much rather prefer to live in Zambia. Because you can't compare with the beauty and the environment in a country
Absolutely.
Like Zambia.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. That's interesting. Everybody that listening, we are sharing some thoughts here about a question that Matilda raised on the wrestling of whether here or there and whatever you need to do. Okay, that was just one point. Oh my goodness, it has taken quite some time, and we've learned some quite some thoughts over there, and what is happening here. Let's say hello to Uncle Daniel. Hello, yeah, Mama Shuke.
Good morning, Mr. Nkam. How's everyone? And good morning, everyone on Zambia Broadcast.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. What would be some thoughts of some other things that are making headlines here? Matilda gave us that one issue that she's contending with. Kelvin, something that is rumbling in your heart, in your mind, about some things that have happened recently. It can be anything, anywhere.
Yeah, it's the escalating tensions between the U.S. and Iran. Iran shot down a spy drone, a U.S. spy drone, and the reaction from DJT was apparently he had ordered combat, military combat. But for some unforeseen reason, he rescinded his decision. So, I mean, it just tells you how fragile world politics is. And, you know, what bothers me so much is that I don't know where politicians have gotten this power to make such decisions, you know, on behalf of, you know, the people, their citizens, per se, you know, because if the majority of the world citizens had their choice, there'd be no wars. There'd be no wars. You see that? So it just saddens me, I can't find an answer to this. I always question myself, like, why do these guys see it prudent, you know what I'm saying, to go to war, to stack up on military equipment, you know, weapons and things like that. The only answer I have is, like, it's a monetary benefit. That's all it is. We are so greedy in life in the world that we want to own everything that other countries cannot own. You see that? It's a fight for control of resources. But guess what? Level-headedness would still benefit all of us to say, okay, you guys have uranium, we don't. We have maize, for instance, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you buy our maize, we buy your uranium. You know, things like that. I think we can still live in peace in the world without such acrimony. It's really, really disturbing.
Yeah, you know, Kelvin, what you have said, do you remember when we started the show, I was talking about the things that we learned in geography. When you make that point of saying that you guys have got this, we don't have that, do you remember that historically we learned that that's how trade started? Before there was money, any currency, any use of currency amongst humanity, there was what they called the barter system. You all remember that? There was exchange.
Exchange of
goods for goods. For example, if Dr. Patrick had, had the something that I didn't have and I needed it, and I had something that he needed that he didn't, we would exchange. That's the way, you know, the world used to be historically. That's what we learned from history. Great point, Kelvin. And the other thing I was looking at is that, Dr. Pat, shouldn't we, in spite of our positions and our political views about DOJ, he restrained himself from striking back because presumably about 150 people would have died. And he says he doesn't tolerate with a drone being shot down and striking a place where people will die. Shouldn't we give him credit for that, being having a human face?
Yes, yes. You should give him credit for it because we did not go to war. Anytime you go to war, it's devastating. And if we can avoid it, anytime we can avoid it, regardless of the reasons, we should give props to him. We should also think about him getting a call in the wee night from an individual with the last name of Putin that told him it would not be a good idea to engage Iran. because the collateral damages that will occur in the Middle East would impact severely on Russia, as it will on the entire Middle East. Now, there will be no winners if a war would break out between the United States and the Iran, and there'll be more than 100,000 deaths. They'll be going into the millions from each of the countries in that region, including us. I think one way we can reduce or minimize the war hawks is to legislate into law that the congressionals, the president, and the mega corporation chieftains, all of their relatives must be enlisted in the military and engage in the war. So therefore, the Trump's offspring should be militarized, as well as O'Connell's children, as well as every war hawk should be militarized, and they should be recruited to engage in war. If that was the case, I think there'd be a rare reduction of war horns being shouted.
War
they
horns,
know that their children and offsprings would have to go to war.
Interesting. Some thoughts, Matilda, before we move to something else?
No, I didn't want to lag on the conversation because the time is going quickly, so I'll let you go on to the next point.
Okay. All right. Let's allow Alan to give you something that is on his heart and what has been he's been pondering on. We have some time here. I think we can do like one or two more. Rayama likes to also get ready for something that we can discuss. Alan, what's been on your heart?
Well, really, it's it's my contribution to life in Zambia, to really move from, how do I move from just being a critic to actually doing something about it? You know, I may not be able to do something about stuff on a large scale. Like, say, for instance, what I saw with some of the people that I visited. Unfortunately, I didn't get to visit too many of my own family relatives. I was just preaching the whole time. But let's
you
say...
I know you must be in big trouble for that.
I'm in big trouble. I am in so much trouble, it's not even funny. But let's say with Jeffco, right? There's power outages, alternative sources. When Zip Kelvin said that some people thrive in adversity, guess who is thriving a lot and making a lot of money? It's people who sell charcoal.
Oh.
Now, it's people who sell charcoal, because if there's no power half the time, what are you using? Even at my uncle's General Sakala's house where I was, they still had the amalasha. Because at a certain point, the power fails, you cook using. And then some of them, it is for cost reasons. You know, electricity now, they have the cards where you put in, if it runs out, you're done. So all those things. So if you're an entrepreneur, or if I was to go back, or if I was to make a meaningful contribution to a community, what if I could empower somebody even, because what to start with is very minimal. So things like that you can scale and build up, you know, to make meaningful contribution to Zambian society and not just be a critic. I haven't found the answers yet. Because everything that you can come up with, there's going to be pros and cons. So I'm wrestling with that, you know, and trying to channel how do we meaningfully contribute instead of just being an armchair critic.
You see, it's interesting, everybody, like we are saying that in this in the year, this 2019, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary. There is one phrase that we have always run with here. I wish my friend was here to say something on this, but he's running late. You know, Oko talks, you can't tell what the weather is like, Kelvin. It could be snowing when we are talking about the solar solstice and all that. What you have said, Alan, about really you may not be able to solve the power outages and things to do with Zesco. But we've always had a phrase here, you all remember this, in our own small way. So in your own small way, Alan, you can make a contribution. You can help uplift, upgrade, or alleviate somebody's life or in a certain way.
Yeah.
There are many projects and many things that we have done on this show. And contributing to, I don't know whether you all can remember this, when we did, 11 is what, quintuplets, something like that. A woman who gave birth to some of those kids, we contributed, put money together, and there are many other things that I can list here. So I think the issue is that, and what we have also done, I am about to say, where you also be able to remember this, we've always encouraged people, Dr. Patrick, from the get-go here in 2009 when we started this, is to say, identify something. Like Alana, just identify something. It could be the school you attended. It could be the hospital in the community, your hometown where you grew up. It could be anything. It could be the playground in your town that you grew up has fallen to pieces or apart. As long as the playground has not, the plot has not been demarcated and given away for houses to be built on it. It could be anything. Just identify something from your community and decide to do something about it. You don't now need to have shares in the Kafue Gorge. Even General Electric GEC to build that gorge. That's another story for another day. So the point here is that just identify something that is close to your heart and do something about it. Is okay? Yeah. Anybody want to say something about that?
When it's done by a corporation, it's called corporate social responsibility, right? But we also must have, citizen social responsibility. Like you said, pick a school. You don't have to, make a contribution to upgrade the whole school. Pick your old classroom. Donate paint.
There you go.
You see that? Yeah, donate paint, offer to buy books or pencils or, erasers, pencil sharpeners. It's the little things that build up. Do you know in life there are three kinds of people. Those who watch things happen, those who wonder what happened, and those who make things happen. So for you who makes things happen, you're going to encourage those who wonder what happened and those who watch things happen. You turn them into, action-oriented individuals. You see that? Because there are people with ideas, but they are skeptical or they don't know how to go about it. But when you get in there and you do it, they pluck a leaf from you. All of a sudden, every other former student of a school who want to donate paint. I'll give a life example. Do you know, Nathan, like right where you are, you can challenge yourself to say, I'm going to build a $2 million mansion. That's the start, right? Guess what? When you look at your finances, you don't have that $2 million. But the determining factor is one, discipline. Two, timeline. Over what timeline do you want to build that $2 million mansion? Is it within a year? It's not feasible because you don't have that money. Is it over 25, 30 years? Possibly, yes. So at the end of the day, you can build that $2 million mansion. But most of us will look at that $2 million bill and say, this is beyond me. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because we seek instant gratification. You see that? If we attach a timeline to anything, we can definitely do it. And it speaks to what I say about development, like especially in Africa. Development is not a five-year process, like they make us believe. We'll develop this, we'll develop that. No, you won't. Development is not just infrastructure. Development is a change of mindset. Development is in the mind as well. You see that?
Right.
So as you seek to develop a nation, you have to develop the mindset of your citizens. Thanks.
Right. And just excellent. What Kelvin has just said, he started off talking about corporate social responsibility. It is there in Zambia, When we were coming up, we didn't see much of it. It wasn't talked about. Not that it didn't exist. We didn't just see it. And I'll give an example where when I first realized that, hey, I can give back to my country, I remember reaching back to my school. This has been, wait, like 16 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. And just to say, okay, we can buy a printer, a color copy printing machine. It just to get that for people to understand, it took a long time because they would automatically see the cost and say, okay, how are we going to ship it? And before you can discuss things, people were seeing the negative before they can see the positive. But we have moved so far from that. Now we've moved along where we are much better in our thinking process. But every now and then, I think there's a thinking process we need to change at home where we don't immediately see the negative. We should try to find a solution. Even though there is a definite negative, let's look for a solution before we pump the brakes and say, hey, but this thing is going to cost $1 billion. How can we get there? But if we say, okay, there are a billion people out, let's all put $1 each.
Mm.
One person will eventually get to that billion. You know, things like that where you're thinking of a solution rather than, oh, we can't do it because it costs so much, or it can't be done because this and that and that. So we are changing our mindset, and we have to push ourselves, push our family members, our friends, to start thinking differently. Even us who are in the diaspora, not everyone has changed their mindset. We are still, you know, a little bit shan-shan, you think, but we have to encourage that.
We are still unique. We are still unique cadres.
Sana.
And you see, here is the thing about that aspect or point of having a negative mentality or negative mindset. excuse me. What we need to tell ourselves is that not anything or everything in the West is not everything from the West is better than where you come from or where I come from. Because I'll give you very two simple practical examples here. It probably will take you, I mean, you've been to the emergency room, you're not going to be attended to in 10, 15 minutes. It takes as much time as it does at UTH. You've been to the driving license office. You all hear what I'm talking about? You see, yeah. Those are examples of things that we tend to overlook or don't pay attention to, okay? Not everything. Don't look at it. I'm glad you raised that point of negativity, Matilda. It's important for us to get over that and to realize that we should not have that mindset that not everything is horrible, or whichever way you want to look at it. Okay. We have like 10 minutes here. And there is one point as we conclude here. Was one of the components to our, one of our components to our anniversary in September is going to be, the component of tourism. Now, when I'm looking at tourism, from my point of view, I'm not looking at the national parks, the wild animals, and all those things. I'm looking at tourism from the point of view of saying that, like Dr. Again, I'm going back historically, okay? This is something that Dr. Patrick has always said to us. Zambia will only be promoted by Zambians, all right? I'm sure we all agree on that. We do not expect a Zimbabwean to promote Zambia and say, oh, you guys need to go to Zambia and all that. My country is rotten, blah, blah, blah. That's not going to happen. So Zambia will be promoted by Zambians, okay? We need to keep that in mind. It's very, very important. It's very, very important as we do that. And as we go, approaching this issue of Zambia will be promoted by Zambians, what are some of the important factors that we need to bear in mind, Uncle Daniel, right? Zambia will only be promoted by Zambia.
Thank you, Mr. Nkama. I agree and disagree at the same time, you know. The only thing Zambia needs to do is create an environment where all the people in the diaspora, they can go back and thrive, you know, and make businesses without any interfering from the government. And, you know, that corruption, payments, just like you have mentioned yourself about when you go to a government office, it will take you, you know, sometimes for them to attend to you. You know, the Zambians, yes, I mean, it can only develop by Zambian, but we have to create an environment where other people can come to and help us to develop that nation. I think we are aware of the young man that was doing a lot of things here in America, Elon Musk. That guy was born in South Africa, but look where he came on to make himself bring out his talents or his vision or his entrepreneurship. He had to come here to America. If he decided to come to Zambia, I don't think because they decided, you know, they want to be prosperous, and they create an environment where they can even foreigners can play a lottery, you know, for visa to come to this country and welcome other people from the from different worlds. And
Let me just cut you short there. You've said it well to say, you know, but there's only one challenge. Okay, I appreciate you saying you agree and you disagree with me. That's the point that I'm trying to make, to say, like Matilda said about us not being negative. It's interesting that we are talking about this. You'll be amazed. This is the beauty of what you call it, online things, Kelvin and everybody. Somebody just sent me pictures of a wedding on the beaches of Sanfia. Valan, Sanfia is what, Lake Bangweuru?
Mkwai. That's where I'm
it's
from.
Lake Bangweuru.
Yes. That's where my father's people are right now, basking in the sun.
Okay. So somebody, as we are talking, Dr. Patrick, somebody is listening to this conversation we're having here, and they just sent me pictures of a wedding that was just held on the beaches of Lake Bangweuru in Sanfia District, Luapula Province. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you see, so things like that, Uncle Daniel, things like that are... So, let me put it this way. This is the point I'm trying to make here as we switch and we're concluding this discussion. You know that there are some people out there. I don't want to mention names here. Matilda will bear me witness to this. I've had this conversation with Matilda. There are some people right now who don't want to come to the U.S. because, like we said at the beginning, because of the news, the information they are getting about the way things are going with the current president. Okay? Now, does that mean that the whole U.S. has fallen apart? Like you are saying, Wayama, with we know the corruption stuff going on in Zambia and all that. Instead of buying medicine, instead of paying school fees, you go and decide and make a payment on a Mercedes-Benz. You know the parable I'm trying to make here? The issues going on in the country, and you go and buy a plane. There is no perfect place or country in the world. It's like, it's amazing that in spite of all the political tensions that were going on in the Middle East, believe it or not, the tourism was still thriving in Egypt and all those places and all that stuff.
Right.
So I think the best thing that we could do is to try and dwell on things that will help enhance move. Because, you see, this is the other issue that people home have with us. They think we're all just about beating the negative drum. You know what I'm trying to say? I'll share with you all these pictures that somebody has sent to me about. You wouldn't think this is in Zambia, the pictures that this person has sent to me. You would definitely conclude and say it's probably in Florida or Dubai or someplace like that. Beautiful, beautiful.
Nathan, I just want to say something, hopefully within less than a minute. I was sharing with my family this morning. I showed them a picture of what they would call here an organic toothbrush in Zambia, or in my mother would call it umswaki. Okay? I'm here in the U.S., and I'm showing them. I have one of these. I got it from a West African store because I remember my grandmother didn't have any dental problems. Those of us who've moved from that to toothbrush, you have all kinds of things, losing teeth, bleeding gums, blah, 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 blah. You can find organic toothbrush, as they call it, in Walmart for $7 to $13. What am I trying to say is we need to embrace what we have in our countries, improve on them, and advertise them and promote them, you know, while we're talking about upselling our countries. We need to know what we have ourselves and not trying to turn our country into a Western world. Yes, there are things that are Western worldish we need, but we also need to say we also have this. This is unique in Zambia. This can only be found in Zambia or in Africa.
Excellent. Okay. Any final comment from anybody before we continue? You know, at our as we are winding up here, I remember one time, not very long ago, Roger did a promo on the diverse foodstuffs that we have as a way as a way of promoting tourism. This is what we did, Dr. Patrick. Our youngest daughter, when she graduated from high school, part of the menu on her birthday, or not birthday, on her graduation party, Kelvin, she wanted us to include a lot of Zambian dishes. And what we did is we have a Zambian friend here. She's going to do some, those of you who would like to order your Zambian dishes when you come to the Dallas event, she'll be able to do that. You have to make an order in advance. So she included, we did chikanda, stuff like that. And our non-Zambian friends, when they ate that food, they were like, this is very unique. Where did this come from? You see what I'm trying to say? You all get the point I'm trying to make. I could have said, can you imagine me responding to that person and saying, oh, it's our home dish, it's our dish from our corrupt country. Do you see the point I'm making? That will always be there. But the thing is that I need to be proud of what my country is able to offer. Coming up is open forum, education and other things. Let's join Roger and the team. Everybody, thank you for calling in, and we continue our discussion here.
For like you give me love, oh. Now you the catch in my shot. For your sake, I go go touch you. Drive around you for my Porsche. Baby, bana. They say he like you, I like.